You're listening to the Great Hearts Podcast. We're a classical education charter school network serving grades K through 12 in pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Thanks for downloading. I'm your host, Dan Scoggin, the co-founder of Great Hearts, and today we're talking with Jake Tawney, the Vice President of Curriculum for Great Hearts. In this episode,
this is a challenge for our world. In a world that is deeply embedded in forms of social media that didn't exist decades ago, in many ways the world is kind of catching up to that, right? They're trying to figure out what authentic communication means in a world that has Twitter and Facebook. We actually think we're providing an answer for that. We think that in getting students to have robust conversation around these common texts, which represent the great ideas, the great conversation of the past. We think we're preparing them. We know we're preparing them to go out into the world and not just to know the material, but also to then be able to communicate it.
So welcome, Jake.
Thanks, Dan. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you in the studio today to talk about what it means to offer a liberal arts education. But how did you, Jake, come to this form of education, as seeing it as the way that you would like to spend your career?
Sure. So let me first say it's great to be with Great Hearts. One of the exciting things about being here is in fact hearing about people's journeys, what brought them to classical liberal arts education, in particular what brought them to Great Hearts. My background is fairly straightforward. I'm from Ohio originally, born and raised. Went to college at Denison University, which is where I think I first had at least a taste of classical liberal arts education. The honors program there, under the direction of a guy named Dr. Tony Liska, was a great books program. And so I was able to take a couple of seminars, the same kinds of things that we offer here in our humane letters classes. And that whetted my appetite, I think, for the tradition, the great conversation of ideas in a lot of these important works. But my formal education there, in addition to the honors program, is in mathematics and computer science, of all things. And from there, I went to Ohio State University and got a master's degree in mathematics. While we were in Ohio, my wife and I also started homeschooling, and I would say that's what allowed us, really, together, to have kind of a deep dive into the world of classical liberal arts education. At the time, I was teaching in the public schools in Ohio, having a great time, never thought that we would leave, but also never had any idea that this whole classical liberal arts movement was occurring anywhere other than in that homeschool environment. And so we were quite delighted 3 years ago to find a place like Great Hearts that was really not only doing this on scale in the sense of a school, taking some of the similar curriculum we had been using and doing it with 20 kids in a classroom, but also on scale in operating multiple schools. And so 3 years ago, we had the great opportunity to come here and be a part of this.
So your family moved from Ohio to Arizona to join Great Hearts. I hear you have a robust family, Jake.
Right. So we packed up all six of our children at the time into the big white van and traveled across the country, praying desperately not to tip the thing over as we were coming down the mountain from Flagstaff. Since then, we've also had two more children, so we're the proud parents of eight kids.
Well, I can see education is very important to your family.
Indeed.
Jake, what does a vice president of curriculum do for a growing charter school network?
So the best way to say this is that my job is to guard, protect, keep, and desperately try not to break the curriculum that's been handed on to us. And we laugh about this, but to some degree this is true. The way that Great Hearts approaches our curriculum is really with a posture of humility. We take the great tradition that has been passed down to us, the great ideas, both in terms of the stuff we teach, but also in terms of how we teach it, and we recognize that in a very humbling way, we have received this. We didn't create it. Our task, of course, is to adapt that to the 21st century.
Well, Jake, we'd like to dig a little bit more into a conversation today about what is a liberal arts education. Great Hearts offers a classical liberal arts education, but focusing on the liberal arts, what does that mean? What are the liberal arts?
So this is a really important question because we hear the term liberal arts used in a variety of circles in different ways. So I think it is important to understand what Great Hearts means when we say a classical liberal arts education, because it's something more than just being well-rounded, than just having some experiences in a variety of subjects. We would take the original approach to this, and the the idea of a liberal arts, we can break that down. So the first word is liberal, and it comes from the Latin word liber, meaning free. And so by this, we mean that the study of the liberal arts is the study of those things that free us as people to act in the world, in many ways to be fully human, frees us to be fully creative, frees us to be fully in community with one another, and frees us to know and to love all sorts of knowledge about the world and about the way it works. There's another interesting etymology there. So liberal comes from the Latin word meaning free, but there's another Latin word, also liber, meaning book, and another one, liberi, meaning children. And I've always found this fairly delightful, because that's what we do here, right? We educate children, and we take great pride in the books, the stuff that we give them. And our goal, of course, is to make them free men and women acting in the world. The other part of the phrase is art, right? So the liberal arts. And an art is a skill or a craft that produces something. And here we would contrast the liberal arts with something like the fine arts or the utilitarian arts. The fine arts produce something, right? They produce a painting, they produce a song. But the liberal arts, what do they produce? They produce the human individual. This education is what is necessary, actually, in order to become fully human. And each one of the liberal arts, each one of the subjects that we offer, is uniquely situated to satisfy something, some longing in the human soul. We teach mathematics because it satisfies something unique in the human soul.
What are the disciplines that are included in the liberal arts?
So originally, there were seven liberal arts, and the first three are called the trivium. And the trivium are the arts of language, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. These are very important for great hearts, and in many ways, the liberal arts, or the trivium part of the liberal arts, has not changed. They are the lasting things. They are the eternal things. We certainly have direct instruction in grammar, logic, and rhetoric, and the ability to understand language, to understand what language means, and then to produce it, to be in conversation with one another, to have an authentic, robust conversation with our peers in the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. But not only do we have direct instruction in that, we always like to say all teachers, regardless of what subject you're teaching, are really teachers of language. First and foremost, as a teacher, you're using language.
Even a math and science teacher?
I have, that's right. So even math and science teachers are teachers of language. So that's the first three, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. The other four we call the quadrivium. Now these are they kind of represent the content that we teach. And so as such, they've changed throughout the years. The original four were geometry, arithmetic, astronomy, and music. And of course, as a mathematician, I take delight that half of these were mathematics. But actually, the Pythagoreans, who were one of the first to articulate these, understood all four of them as mathematics. That astronomy was really geometry and motion, and even music. Here's the study of music, not the production of it. But music was about arithmetic in relationships to itself. So then I take even greater delight when I can say that they were all mathematics. Now, of course, the sciences have expanded, the disciplines themselves have expanded. We now have formal studies of history. We certainly have studies of philosophy. We have study of the various forms of science, biology, physics, chemistry, earth science. We have mathematics broken up, not just into geometry and arithmetic, but we would have calculus on top of that, which is a more modern form. So those are the original liberal arts, but again, we would say that those four, that quadrivium, has kind of expanded over the course of human history, whereas the arts of language are in many ways eternal.
Well, it's interesting when you think of going on and getting a liberal arts degree at a college or university. It doesn't sound as expansive as the way you're describing it, Jake.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that many universities will use the phrase liberal arts just to mean having some exposure in a variety of curricular areas, a variety of subjects, which of course is a good, and that is certainly part of the goal of a liberal arts education. But at Greatheart's, we would suggest that it's so much more. We don't want you to just have exposure in a wide variety of the liberal arts. We actually want you deeply formed in all of them, which is why all of our students have a robust education in mathematics as well as a robust education in the humanities, and even a robust education in the fine arts.
So are there electives at Great Hearts?
The only electives that we have at this point are the choice of language track. So for the most part, all Great Hearts students are taking a common education. And the reason for that is that education itself is fundamentally an act of the community. And in a world that is has such a wide variety of interests through the various forms of pop culture that are reaching different kids, we actually think that at the lunch table, the one thing that brings them together is that common educational experience, that common content that they're all getting. So the one choice that students have is in the ninth grade. They can either continue to choose, they can either continue to study their ancient languages that they started in middle school through 2 more years of Latin and then 2 years of Greek, or they can take 4 years of a modern language.
So it could be said that a liberal arts education or a classical liberal arts education is backward looking, is maybe a return to a form of education that's no longer relevant. I imagine, Jake, that you would argue quite differently. So how does a liberal arts education prepare young men and women? Well, first of all, who do they become through this form of education? And then why is it the right education for today?
Yeah, this is really important because we often get this question about whether or not our education is looking backwards. We would suggest that the movement that we're a part of is a true reform. And as such, a reform is not a rewriting. It suggests that there is some form that already exists. In going back to this great tradition that's been handed on, we actually are very forward-looking. And I think that gets at your second question, Dan. How does this prepare students for the world? We know in the course of human history that all major intellectual advancements come from being able to answer and tackle the big questions that occur in cross disciplines. So I like how we started off with this division of the liberal arts between the arts of language, the trivium, and then the quadrivium. Because if the quadrivium are the disciplines, being able to have deep exposure within these is precisely what allows our students to tackle big questions. Because all major intellectual revolutions are the result of being able to think across disciplines, to be able to see the commonalities of human thinking in a variety of areas. But then there's also the arts of language, and that primarily forms our students to be able to authentically communicate in the world. And I think you would agree, Dan, that this is a challenge for our world. In a world that is deeply embedded in forms of social media that didn't exist decades ago, in many ways the world is kind of catching up to that, right? They're trying to figure out what authentic communication means in a world that has Twitter and Facebook. We actually think we're providing an answer for that. We think that in getting students to have robust conversation around these common texts, which represent the great ideas, the great conversation of the past, we think we're preparing them. We know we're preparing them to go out into the world and not just to know the material, but also to then be able to communicate it. What I would really love is for us to be able to produce the world's next great, say, computer programmer that can also dialogue about Moby Dick and Aristotle.
So what would you say, Jake, to wrap up our conversation? This has been so helpful to me. What would you say to a parent that's considering a liberal arts education? What would be, to finish this point, what would be some of the attributes that you would say they would gain from it?
Yeah. So I would say to the parent, you know, first and foremost, we are deeply committed to preparing our kids for careers. But we think the best way to prepare the kids for careers is to prepare them as human people, is to give them a robust formation, to really get them to become intellectually alive, aesthetically alive, and morally alive. And I think those three things are the characteristics that we're after. We really want students to come away from Great Hearts with a very deep understanding of what it means to be a human being in the 21st century, to really understand what it means to act well, to think well, And even to see well, to see and understand beauty, or to hear in the case of music, to understand beauty well. That's what we're after. Those are the characteristics that we want to gift to our students. That ability to be intellectually, morally, and aesthetically alive. And when you have that, when you're alive, you have passion. And when you have passion, you can communicate it. It's contagious. And we want, in that way, our students to be, you know, truly attractive in the broader world once they leave us.
Well, Jake, I want to thank you for this conversation today. Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Really appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Jake Tawney, our Vice President of Curriculum at Great Hearts. Learn more about our schools by visiting greathheartsamerica.org.